everybody, and welcome to a Mostly Merry, Mostly Film. I'm one of your one-stop catechop for all things in the world of film. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan McCorder, joined by my beautiful co-host, JP Payton.
Merry Christmas.
It is Christmas time.
Christmas time, yeah.
It is. I guess it's a week from today.
Yeah. It's a week of Christmas here.
Oh yeah, I got all these unwrapped presents up here that I got to. I don't know how to wrap, and I got more downstairs and more coming. I am gonna have to figure that out.
Yeah,
you good at wrapping?
No.
I'm gonna have to recruit Casey and Caitlin to come up here and wrap the gifts.
Oh yeah,
Wednesday. Yeah,
you couldn't get like Ellie, or
it's too late in the game.
I
have very limited days. Listen, I'm ready to have a great, but not.
Dude, just go get some bags.
No, they got to be wrapped. That's no fun to open a bag.
If you put enough stuffing paper, it's perfect.
No. But hey,
yeah,
Wednesday night, we're having a great fun night.
Yeah, we are.
Explain to these good people what pho is.
I mean, pho, it's kind of like ramen.
Okay.
Except kind of different broth, different noodle.
You sure this isn't what she was doing?
It's possible, but she was like burying her face in those drawers.
Luna was munching on my boxers.
I mean, I
boxers.
Wasn't bringing it up. I mean, yeah.
They've been up
Luna's
here for weeks.
Freak.
Yeah, Luna's a weirdo, but I also leave my dirty clothes up here for weeks on end. Anyway, so pho is like a ramen.
Yes.
Ramen.
Yeah, it's a little bit different in the sense that, you know, it's more Thai than Japanese. And
they got some spice, some kick.
You can. It's kind of one of those things where you make up the broth and then you just add the ingredients as you go. So you know, like normally you would have uncooked meat, beef normally.
Yeah.
And then you drop it in the broth and it warms up and, you know, good to go. So yeah, we're going to have some of that Wednesday. Got to work on that.
Are we supposed to do an exchange? We're not doing a gift exchange.
No, hope not.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
We're doing a liquor exchange at work.
Oh,
Friday,
really?
And, it was like a $50 minimum. So it's like no cheap stuff.
Okay. $50 minimum. That's decent.
Yeah. It's like you're getting no matter how you go, you're getting a pretty good bottle.
Sure.
So, and the rule was you got to keep the receipt with it too. So you can prove it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm going to get some, because the minimum, I'm going to get a bottle of Lafroig and introduce it to the boys.
Okay.
So. What have you been doing though?
Getting better.
You sound better.
Yeah, I feel much better. I was down bad. I think after that pod that we had,
you got worse.
It was, I mean, I was on the decline, or I hit the apex already, so I was coming back down. but yeah, had a long road ahead, but feeling much better. Honestly. Watched a lot of TV more than I did movies.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's just
I didn't
more.
Watch anything besides what we were supposed to watch, minus a couple.
Yeah.
And they were still Christmassy. Everything I watched was very Christmassy this go around.
Yeah.
Part of it is me and Abby have been watching some Christmas movies too. So it's the week before. We're leading up to Christmas. So
that's good.
No shame in my movie game. I did try to find some stuff to watch, but honestly, a lot of the stuff that's out that's not in theaters right now isn't just overly appealing right now anyway.
Yeah.
Like the Hunger Games is sitting on there and some like others. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I also need to round out my 2023 watches soon.
No, I understand. I don't know about this time of year. I feel like there's more TV coming out than there are movies.
I always blitz through TV. February is my TV month.
Yeah.
February, March. Historically, I just blitz through a bunch of stuff. Now, granted, I'll be in Disney for 9 days or something in February.
Yeah.
So I won't be watching anything then. But Dawson's getting married.
9 days in Disney. That's crazy.
It's not enough. When I was growing up, we did 2 weeks, and Abby's like, that's too much. I'm like, no.
Wow.
Nope, we do 10 days at Disney and like 2 days at Universal and 2 days at Cocoa Beach. It was the best.
Wild.
Yeah. Anyway, I've even been playing. I don't think, remember, I haven't turned my Xbox on since the last time you've been here. I've been so tired the last few, like this last week too. Not for any like reason. I hadn't been exceptionally busy. I've just been tired.
Are you sure you haven't been that busy? Because I'm looking at Mr. 100.
That's right. I first 100 club.
Wow.
Yeah, I've sold 100 cars since July 21st. So, awesome. Slinging these cars.
So, 6 months? You're there?
July 21st to now. It's not quite six.
Just close.
Yeah. August 21st, September 21st, October 21st, November 21st.
5 months.
I know. Well, I expected, mentally, I was like, I can sell 100 cars in a year.
Of course you did.
I've done it in 5 months. So, who knows? Sky's the limit.
Own dealership.
I still don't want to do it forever. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's fine. It's fine. But the, yeah, I do like all this other salesmen have to just see me sell these cars and they're like, dang it, I hate this guy. Wish he would go do something else.
Yeah.
Because I've been joking with everybody. I've been saying once I hit 100, I'm going to go back to, I never actually left my job. This was all for a shoe. I'm going to go back to Walgreens because I just wanted to prove a point.
It's like a weird.
Someone dared me. I bet you can't go sell 100 cars.
It's a boss swap.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. But anyway, no, I've just been tired. Maybe mentally tired. I don't know. But just tired. So I've been like watching a movie, falling asleep, having to wake back up, start it from where I dozed off. Like it's been one of those weeks.
I get that.
I've also had a little bit of a sinus thing going on, like consistent headache, sore throat, but it's all drainage related. But that's it. Those are the only two symptoms I've had.
Yep.
But when you have a headache all day long, every other day, that drains you, man.
Exhausting. Yeah,
it is. I hate headaches, man. I'd rather have a sore throat all day than a headache all day.
So I've been so stopped up recently. My ears had been stopped up, yeah, which is a pain because...
Do you clear your Eustrian tubes?
What?
Is that what they're called?
I don't know.
I think they are. In your ears?
I mean,
you plug your nose with your knuckles, yeah, and blow real hard?
Yeah, yeah.
It clears your Eustrian tubes.
Well, it wasn't working.
Okay.
But Caitlin got her first mix back on some stuff that we went to track recently for EP.
That's just coming up soon.
And so we're listening to them in the house and I like popped my ears and I like they finally popped. Like, it's been about a week. Yeah. It finally popped. And I was like, oh my God. Sounds amazing.
Yeah. did you play this Sunday? I missed church this Sunday because we went and saw Ellie singing a special.
Did I played a lot.
Oh, speaking of which, no one lifts their hands at Old School Baptist Church. It's not how it is.
Yeah.
But Ellie had a special, and it was the only song out of all. It was a Christmas special. It was like a modern kind of worship song, like you would hear it in at Faith Center.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Violet, we're all sitting down. Ellie, because everybody sits down for these things. Mm-hmm. Ellie's up there singing, and you know, Violet's sitting in my lap watching. And next thing you know, Violet's going, lifting her hand, worshiping, and Ellie composed herself but lost it, tears running down her face. It was so sweet.
Well, probably good thing I weren't there because
I know
Abby
that too, but
yes.
The unspoken, you know,
there was a little I don't know why I'm doing finger quotations, but human video.
Abby loved that.
Yeah, I was about to say Caitlin was like, she's like, I don't know if it's just her, but she's like, I was just crying. I don't know why. And I thought Abby.
Yeah, Abby, because we were out of church by 10 a.m.
So, oh, wow. Yeah. Just come on down to Paducah.
I know. You want to go see my dad at his church? We're there forever. We can go and then maybe still have time for Faith Center. I don't know.
That's hilarious.
But no, Abby's like, we started watching John do the intro or whatever. And then there was this. All of a sudden, I was like, what's going on over there? Wow, this is like a Pentecostal youth rally over here.
It was pretty close.
Yeah,
pretty close.
But you know what did happen? Trailers happened. Some good quality trailers. Like not like some, you know, sometimes we have to like really scrape the bottom of the trailer barrel to find like four or five good ones. Well, there's some good ones. Starting with we didn't really have to stretch our imagination too far to find this one.
Okay.
John Krasinski's new movie If.
Yeah.
Or If.
If. Just If.
Not If. Yeah, If. I wonder if. Do you say that? I wonder if, or I wonder if.
If.
I wonder if you're ready for that.
I wonder if.
You don't ever say if.
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 Like, I wonder if, like with a V.
I wonder if. No, never.
Okay. I am calling somebody right now.
Well, thanks for the heads up.
You did
an update, didn't you?
I did. Oh, yeah. People's pictures automatically just show up on my phone.
Yeah.
Did you see Garrett Way tagged me on Facebook the other day? He said every time someone calls me at 8:24, I'm gonna start calling them at 4:28 a.m.
I mean, it's not even 9:30 yet.
I know. He's in bed by like 8:30.
More power to him.
I got my first batch of Disney Lorcanic. Your call has been forwarded to voicemail.
The person you're trying to reach is not available.
Wow.
I got my first batch. This is actually something I did do.
Okay.
I got my first batch of Disney Lorcanic cards.
Yeah.
I'm going to be obsessed with this game. You got to get yours now. Oh, hey, you answered. Good. Oh, look, his is red. Villainous.
Wow.
Hey, listen, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, you're live on the pod. I just want to say, I call you, and when you if I screenshot this, will it show, Kyle? Like with the letters?
Yeah.
It is. Your letters are like bright red, like it's almost like a supervillain.
Oh, like my my contact card.
Yeah. Is it like, it's like those send sheets you used to have from back in the day?
That's right, yeah.
Hey, exactly. Listen. Hey, this is a very calm and normal conversation we're having on the podcast, so you don't have to worry about anything crazy. When you say, I wonder, what's the next word? I don't want to put any, the letter, you know, I wonder blank. Two letters?
I mean, just say IF.
Well, then you're subliminally putting something in there with the second letter.
I'm not.
Okay, yeah.
It's IF. A word.
How do you say
if?
Yes. Like, so say, use it in a sentence.
I wonder if you're telling me the truth.
Oh, I am telling you the truth, but here, so you never say if, like with a V, like I wonder if you've, you know,
that's just a run out. Like
you ever told me the truth? No, I don't think so.
You always pronunciate the F
because it's the word. You're running words together. It just depends on what word is coming after if.
Immediately, like, I don't think I've ever noticed I've ever used if and pronunciated the F. I thought this was just a JP thing.
It's like a washcloth in Kroger's.
What?
You know, people call it like wash. Instead of washcloth, they say washcloth.
Oh, I've never said wash.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people sometimes just say Kroger's. Like, I'm going to Kroger's.
With an S?
Oh, they add the S, like going to the Walmarts?
Yeah, the Walmarts. Yeah. Yeah. Walmarts, Kroger's.
Yeah. I think that's just an old person thing.
I also think you're probably just really lazy when it comes to talking. Or you're talking so fast.
Because I'm running. That's probably more like it. I just blitz in my words. Because
it depends on probably what word you're saying after.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all it was, Kyle. I appreciate it. I'm waiting.
No problem.
I'm waiting for your congratulations.
All for the 100 cars?
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Come sell cars with me.
Not sell 100 cars.
You might. All right. Love you, Kyle. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Anyway, well, so if.
Yeah, needless to say, this if phenomenon is just a form of your imagination.
Yeah, so John Krasinski
creating words
has created this film about imaginary friends. And they all like kind of live in this like upside down world like us. Like they're all under the, you know, whatever. And his daughter, right? Is that his Ryan Reynolds daughter?
His actual daughter?
No. Is she playing his daughter?
I don't
in the
think
film?
It is.
I can't figure out her relationship.
Maybe.
But Ryan Reynolds can see all of these imaginary friends, including his original one, which is voiced by Steve Carell, who looks like Grimace.
I thought it was Grimace. I thought this is a weird McDonald's ad.
Yeah. And then it's got like this weird girl that looks like the girl from Willy's Wonderland who does the gymnastics. Anyway.
Mm, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds is just maneuvering this world of all these imaginary friends that he... Is there a synopsis? What is
it? Letterboxd has got on here a story you have to believe to see. The story of a girl who discovers that she can see everyone's imaginary friends and what she does with that power as she embarks on a magical adventure to reconnect forgotten ifs with their kids. So I don't think there's any family connection between Ryan Reynolds and the girl character. I think Ryan Reynolds is just someone that shares this ability with her.
Okay. That makes sense. This looks like a ton of fun. It's like Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends live action. And I'm all in on this. This is like a visual acid trip. And it is a Ryan Reynolds, perfect teed up Ryan Reynolds kind of movie. I'm all here for if. Yes or no for you? It's an eye candy movie.
Eye candy isn't a good description because the thing that would make it eye candy is the fact that a lot of the names tied to this movie are voice actors. So it's not eye candy because I can't see them.
No, that's eye candy. I like the weird visuals.
Yeah, but I mean,
like
you've got...
Poor Things is eye candy.
Yes, but I mean, the cast is pretty loaded. You got Phoebe Waller-Bridge's, Steve Carell, like we said, Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, Vince Vaughn, Sam Rockwell, Maya Rudolph,
in addition
Richard
to Ryan
Jenkins.
Reynolds being your lead.
Yeah, it honestly though, it feels like like one of those movies that a lot of these actors just kind of do in between big projects,
mm-hmm.
call in a favor to a friend.
John Krasinski being that favor.
And honestly, I pulled this up to actually look this up. Okay. So I was wondering, like, outside of Quiet Place, what has John Krasinski really directed?
I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's very boring.
Yeah. The Hollers.
I don't know The Hollers.
He starred and directed in. Huh. Okay. Not a whole lot, but I don't know. I'm still trying to get a grip on kind of what to expect from John Krasinski.
I think this will be a good barometer because it's a total polar swing from Quiet Place. We can kind of see if he does and finds a success here. This yeah. has a franchise written on it for me. Like I could see this being a fun franchise to delve into. Will they? Don't know. Does it need to be? No.
Yeah.
But I could see it being. But yeah, I'm like super, super excited about this one. This is something I will be there to see in theaters. So, but I think what's more of a sure thing that we're both going to for sure be all the way in on is A24's new movie, Alex Garland's new movie. Actually, I'm not sure if it's A24. I think it's just...
It is A24.
Okay, it is A24. Alex Garland's new movie, who directed, most importantly, Men, and then Annihilation and
Ex Machina
and
Annihilation.
I said Annihilation.
Oh,
it's Annihilation because they didn't actually show Men. I was being facetious. Yeah. I do like Men, but it was Ex Machina, Annihilation.
Oh, why'd you have to?
Alex Garland. What is his other movie?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna drive me up a wall. But I won't have to be off that wall super long because JP's got it handled.
Devs?
No.
Ex Machina. He was a writer on 28 Days Later.
That's it. That's what,
that
they
was what they showed.
That's what they credited it for. Yeah. So this is Alex Garland's new film starring Kirsten Dunst, which everybody knows who she is. Wagner Moura, who played Pablo Escobar and Narcos, he was great. Kaylee Spaney, who plays Priscilla. Jesse Plemons, Stephen McKinley Henderson, Nick Offerman. Out of the rest of these names, that looks about it of any of the big ones. I mean, there's a lot of faces I kind of recognize and stuff, but as a whole.
You mentioned Plemons, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The brief synopsis is, all empires fall. In the near future, a group of war journalists attempt to survive while reporting the truth as the United States stands on the brink of civil war. Visually, this movie looks amazing. I love the casting choices of this film. It looks, they all look intense and great and dedicated to the role. But for me, it's just, this is such a timely movie. Like, none of this would surprise me happening tomorrow. And B, it also just makes me think, like what they're showing, a real civil war, if it broke out, would be nipped in the bud so quick before you could even speak if the government allowed us, if like the president just said, neutralize it. Can you imagine? Even if Texas was like, you know, what if Texas, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Illinois and all this, like, we're seceding, we're going to war. And then the White House is like, all right, and then just send some stealth bombers and just call it a day.
I don't like to think about those types of things. I like to stay pretty.
And plus, in what world is Texas and California the two states that are?
California is pretty historically Republican.
They're not now.
They are though.
It's just because of the population centers.
Because of yes, because LA, like these bigger cities, have, you know, higher density of, you know.
Liberals,
Democrats, what? Yeah, then yeah, it's kind of like the situation that they find themselves. Kentucky, that's how Kentucky's been. But yeah, Texas and California really don't have that much not in common.
Texas is more overtly,
yeah,
Republican.
Yeah,
anyway, yeah, I just strike me as out of all the states. Now, granted, I'm sure Kentucky doesn't sell as well when you're talking about Civil War succession, but
yeah.
No, this movie looks great. Jesse Plemons, this is the kind of role I've been wanting from Jesse Plemons. This is kind of like, if you still not seen Game Night?
No.
This is if like his cop character from Game Night got to go full crazy.
Okay.
So now you definitely need to watch Game Night with this in context.
Yeah, I'll be really interested. All we know is that this is coming out in 2024. I would be really interested how close this is coming out with 2024 election.
Oh gosh, like the purge, it would purge election year.
I don't remember. I mean, sure, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
movie didn't have that big of an effect on me. But well, I mean, this obviously has a little bit more poetic vibe to it. But
without being overly political one way or the other, seems like.
Yeah. And I think like this movie, I was super pumped to see Plemons.
Aren't him and Kirsten Dunst married?
Yes.
I thought so.
Or together. I don't know if
they've been together for a while.
Yeah, they've been together since what was the show, Fargo?
Yeah.
So
I thought they were partners. I knew there was something with them. And then Nick Offerman's doing some weirder and weirder stuff lately.
Yeah.
This is just a good Nick Offerman.
He has a really good reputation with Alex Garland as well with Devs.
Yep.
So
and we've already seen some of his dramatic chops with The Last of Us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this will be a fun film, and I really really liked what I saw from the dude from Narcos. I thought he looked, pretty good and intense as well. So, Civil War, all in. Can't wait for that. The biggest surprise, well, these next two are both pretty big surprises for me. Miller's Girl, starring Martin Freeman and Jenna Ortega, is coming out next year. I'll pull the synopsis up, but
I got it pulled up.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Write What You Want. A talented young writer embarks on a creative odyssey when her teacher assigns a project that entangles them both in an increasingly complex web.
Yeah, so this is like a teacher or like student teacher. What's the word I'm looking for? Entanglement.
Yeah,
kind of thing, where the teacher takes her keen interest in a student, and oh my gosh. Sorry, I just got caught off guard. I was going to add the next one ready to be pulled so I could read it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Naglia, who I know, he gave it 1 star.
Oh, it's rough.
That's real rough. So that's, all right, we'll come to that one in a minute. So Martin Freeman is her teacher. Jenna Ortega is a student, and she like makes this long walk to the school every day, and he like takes an interest in her. It kind of seems innocent at first, and like she's very... Flirty isn't the right word, but it's definitely throwing some signals out there that maybe she's interested, and then he feeds into it, kind of, right? It's kind of hard to gauge.
I think she... Yeah, I mean, she's the type of character that likes to... Like, she says to him whenever he calls her out on this walk that she doesn't shy away from...
The bad,
from like she's bad the worst thing in the forest, or whatever. Yeah. And
she's also very bright.
Yes. He's drawn to her because of her talent, and maybe also her good looks. Is just like it's just
she wears just slightly revealing clothes without being too skanky.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a perfect storm for both of them. And then he kind of gives her this one special assignment to write in the way of her favorite author.
Yeah.
And write her own story. And when she does, and she's talking to this one girl in her house the whole time, this like Victorian Gothic looking house. And I think the girl's made up.
Oh, you think the friend is made
up? Yes. Because she's the one saying, because each time.
Okay. So this is very much like a psychological thriller.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Each time the girl would talk to her, it was different assignments. And she'd be saying, make him fall in love with you. And then she'd do it. Then she said, make him hate himself.
This is like a Fight Club.
Yes.
Very much.
Yes. Erotic Fight Club.
Yeah. I could see that. I could see that working.
Yeah. What did you think I meant earlier?
I thought you were saying that Jenna Ortega's character was.
No.
I was
the girl,
confused.
The friend in the house. Because there's no parents, just that girl.
Well, she's in college. This is
That's a college thing?
I thought it was a college.
I thought this was more of a high school kind of.
Well, I thought the trailer sets up very early that she's 18.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah, good point about the age. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
there are 18 year olds in high school. I understand, but
now you're
the
probably
setting
right.
of the setting of the school, everything else that's going on there, it felt very much like a campus life. And so, anyways, I thought that they might be roommates or something.
No, that could be it. Either way, I think there's going to be more to it than just the teacher dynamic. Something's adrift here.
I don't like Jenna Ortega.
Me neither. I was going to say that. That was going to be how I close. I think she's very overrated and overdone, and she's not done anything so far that I've seen that I've just been like, dang.
Yeah.
And she's very samey.
I could probably, it's one or the other. Like, I feel like Jenna Ortega is too, I don't know what the word is, but just like TikTok pretty. Like, you know, like everybody on TikTok wants to try to look like Jenna Ortega. Yeah,
which I don't get. I don't think, to me, it's just, she's not my type. Well, I don't think Jenna Ortega is just like.
I know. I understand. What I'm trying to say is her style compared in contrast to a character, like, I can't tell which does not work more for this movie, the casting of Jenna Ortega or Martin Freeman, in the sense of,
I think
if you have a Jenna Ortega, you put somebody like a Clive Owens type. Someone that's a little bit more, I don't know, convincing to have this type of relationship. I think
Martin Freeman fits the narrative of like the, I could never believe Clive Owens' intentions weren't always like, I'm going to sleep with this girl. Martin Freeman seems like, oh, I'm flirting. Oh gosh, this got crazy real quick. Yeah. And like, he's awkward about it. Kind of wants to end it. Doesn't know how to handle it the right way. I think Martin Freeman's the perfect casting. Or like a Martin Freeman type. I have no problem with his. And I like Jenna Ortega, what I have seen. She's good in Wednesday. She's good in everything I've seen her in. Never great. Mm-hmm. But she just is feeling very, she's getting kind of typecasted.
Yeah.
And I think she's leaning into it. That's fine. She's being, you know, people calling her the next Jamie Lee Curtis Green Queen kind of girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she's feeding into all that. Good for her. Good marketing. I get it. But to me, this she doesn't fit with Martin Freeman. I think we just saw Priscilla and we talked about her. I think this, what she did, that's the kind of vibe I think could have gone better for this. Or that, even, that type of actress.
Or even like Tompkins, what's her name from Eileen?
Thomasin McKenzie.
Thomasin McKenzie, yeah. That's it.
Thomasin McKenzie, and I thought of what's her name too from Marvel. Not Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Play Spider-Gwen.
No. Sydney Sweeney?
No.
Spider-Gwen.
Yeah. Spider-Verse? Hawkeye?
Yes, her. Yeah.
What's her name?
I don't want to look it up because I'm going to be mad.
This is why we need mic stands.
Emma? Like, she played Emma? No. She played in that movie, Emma.
This is the best part of the podcast.
Well, we just sit here and just try to guess things. Is it Amanda?
No.
Haley. I keep wanting to say Haley Atwell, but that's the name for.
Nope.
Haley.
We're almost there. I'm not looking this up.
Oof. Oh my gosh.
Not happening.
Richardson? No.
Maybe. Is that your final answer?
No. You can look it up. Haley. And then when you find it, just tell me what those starts with. Haley. Maybe it is Richardson, but I don't want to say that's mine. I don't think
definitely not.
No. Haley Lou Richardson is the girl from
Haley Steinfeld.
White Lotus 2.
Yeah, Haley Steinfeld.
Ugh, gosh. Anyway, yeah, I think she could do something like that.
Yeah, So some good podcasting there.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, you know what was happening is they were sitting there either going, Steinfeld, shut up and move on, or like, oh crap, what is her name?
You're stuck with us. Still listening. Hopefully you just press 15 seconds ahead.
Or you sat there and struggled with me.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, I could see her doing this kind of role.
Sure.
Something about Jenna Ortega and Martin Freeman, just the pairing I don't love.
Yeah.
But like you said, Jenna Ortega and Clive Owen, that fits, but then I just don't feel like it fits what they're going
for. It's almost
for the film.
Too, like you said, it's almost too convincing. Whereas I guess with this trailer, you kind of get like a tightrope of, like, what's the real motives here? So,
yeah, speaking of Martin Freeman, made me think of Martin Sheen, who has Good Omens season 3 got renewed with Dave and Tennant for the third and final season.
Okay.
So, very excited. Have you seen Good Omens yet?
No.
You should watch Good Omens. It's fantastic TV.
Well, add that to the list of TV that I probably will never watch. I would want to see it.
What about Miller's Girl? You going to watch that one?
Maybe, yeah. It'll probably be the end of next year before I watch it. But
yeah, I didn't even catch when it comes out. But last trailer for our movie trailer roundup is He Went That Way.
Actually, we got two.
There's one more after that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's Out of Darkness too. Spoiler. He Went That Way. It's set in 1964, a three-day journey long along Route 66 begins when Bobby Falls, a 19-year-old serial killer, hitches a ride with Jim Goodwin, a celebrity animal handler traveling with his precious cargo, his TV chimpanzee, Spanky. Jacob Elordi and Zachary Quinto are your two stars here. Jacob Elordi is on a roll right now. Zachary Quinto, for me, I know him from Heroes, where he plays Siler.
Yeah.
I've seen him in American Horror Stories on and off in that show as well. Good actor.
Yeah.
Patrick Evans is in this too. He's in Suits. I like Patrick Evans.
Was he in Nosferatu as well?
Yes, he's in that film. Yeah. So, you know, both good actors. I thought the trailer looked good. I was in for it. It looks a little bit comedic, but also pretty dark and also a little sultry.
Yeah.
Too. Thing with Zachary Quinto, he's openly gay. And a lot of the wants to be an advocate for having that in films.
Uh-huh.
So my guess is there's going to be some Brokeback kind of Bonnie and Clyde, but Clyde and Clyde stuff going on.
Okay.
Bobby and Clyde.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, there's a lot of different genres getting mashed in to this a little bit, which I think could be fun. But to that point, you know, I'm just going to quick read this paragraph from Matt Naglea, who's obviously seen this early. Yeah. He gave it one star.
Wow.
Said he went that way as a tonal disaster, drifting from one genre to the next with no clear direction. Zachary Quinto and Jacob Elordi are saddled with such abysmal writing that even a fake chimpanzee outshines them both. A poor road movie that never delivers on the promise on the promise of its compelling true story.
I know nothing about the true story of this. That makes me kind of want to watch it just to get a understanding of,
and then read about the true story afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie can't be a one-star movie. The trailer does not look like it could possibly be a one-star movie.
There's a monkey called Slappy.
Spanky.
I just feel like Jacob Elordi's like too good looking to be casted as any type of person from a true story. You know,
except for Elvis.
Maybe. It's just like, it's one of those things. And
oof, a lot of these early access reviews are actually abysmal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's maybe dead on arrival.
It's a weird sell. I guess he's a serial killer that gets picked up by hitchhikers.
With a monkey.
Yeah. And
it's a weird thing. And the director hasn't done anything, really. No, he hasn't.
I don't know if I'll waste my time on this one.
Yeah, probably not me after seeing this too. I mean, if I have literally nothing to watch and then give it a go, but it's doubtful.
Yeah. But what about something else?
Out of the darkness of that terrible reviews of that trailer, is Out of the Darkness. This was Bleecker Street.
Yeah, Bleecker.
Which I've said earlier, I'm kind of getting up on the Bleecker Street train, man. Out of Darkness. Is it Out of Darkness or Out of the Darkness?
Out of the Darkness.
No.
What?
No.
That's not it?
It's not on... I can't find it on Letterboxd.
I mean, did you try MBD?
No, I didn't yet. This is not Medieval. It's Out of Darkness. In the old Stone Age, a disparate gang of early humans band together in search of a new land. When they suspect a malevolent, mystical being is hunting them down, the clan are forced to confront the danger they never envisaged? I don't know how you say that word. It's got a 3.3 on Letterboxd for the early access stuff. 87 minutes long. That's a pretty brisk pace for it.
Amazing.
The trailer looks very well done. A lot of practical effects. I could feel the tension in the trailer. However, with that said, movies that are predominantly at nighttime with nighttime shots, which this guy had a lot of the same credit or studio credits from, you know, It Follows, It Comes at Night, and there was one more, Saint Maud, right?
Yeah, Saint Maud.
Saint Maud's not very, I mean, I haven't seen it, but I know from the shots, it's not a very dark, like literally dark, dark.
It is a horror movie though.
Yes. But the other two are very dark outside, like, take place in the darkness kind of films.
Yeah.
With those films, they're very hit and miss for me in terms of effect. I like a little bit of splash of color and light and stuff in there. I think it adds to horror. But when everything's, I feel like when everything, maybe this is just me, and everything is always in the dark the whole time, that can cheapen things a little bit. So this feels like it could be that for me, a little cheapened and kind of cliched. However, depending on what they do with this malevolent mystical force, could be a make or break. Maybe it's probably like a Wendigo or something stupid like that, but
yeah,
who knows? This is kind of like on the fence for the kind of thing you would watch.
Yeah, I'll wait for your early reviews on this. I like the premise of this, set in the Stone Age. They're obviously speaking in some kind of dialect that is either been made up or based off, I don't know, something written on a wall. I don't know. But the fact that they're portraying this pretty true to that feels at least worth a watch.
Agreed.
And because then you get, obviously, this, there's the whole cultural side of it where, I don't know, what was that other movie we watched recently? Trailer we watched, The Vampire. It was last week's.
It reminded me more of, see, the one where they're out in the, like, that random Airbnb kind of place.
Seeds, yes.
Seeds of Darkness. Yes, or seeds, something. Seedings. Yeah, they gave me those kind of vibes.
Yeah. It looks interesting. So I'll wait to see.
Yep. I'll probably watch that one. All right. What have you been watching?
Man, I've been watching a lot of TV. Like I said, caught up on some Monarch Legacy of Monsters. All this Godzilla hype.
Is that done?
No.
Is it a weekly episodic?
Episodic.
Hey, Divinity's out, by the way.
Okay, I will be watching that.
I've been seeing, I got a huge surge in Divinity likes, like, reviews. Oh, and then I went, looked, it's on it's streaming somewhere, I think.
Like Prime?
I'm gonna tell you real quick.
Well, I've been watching Legacy of Monsters.
No, look, movie.
And I've got all my social media feeds blown up with Godzilla stuff and just all the hype over all these movies that have been coming out. This TV series, I think it does a really good job of keeping you interested in what's happening in this franchise.
This isn't like a giant monster mash, right?
There are monsters. And it's kind of like, it's not Jaws because they're way bigger than just a shark in the ocean, but they are trying to track them down while also trying to track down a certain person in the movie, in the show.
Because I heard, like, what I've read about it, and that's no problem for me. Like, I probably like that. There's a lot of human element, human stakes, more so than monster stakes. Okay.
It's been really good. Really, just kind of a week, really rewarding from a week to week basis. I always want to come back and watch more of it. Something else I've been watching. Reacher's come back to Amazon Prime.
I've still not seen the full first season, but I've heard nothing but good.
I'll be honest. It's a perfect, this is like a old school TV show. It's one that our dads would love.
Mm-hmm.
That
I can't believe Thad Castle's had this glow up.
Have
you watched Blue Mountain State?
Yeah.
All of it? It's all on my voodoo.
I probably have, but I'm not gonna watch Blue Mountain State and enjoy it now.
I would.
Yeah, I know you would. 100%. But I'm just, it's not something I would go.
Well, the opening freaking episode, Thad Castle runs the length of a football field an Oreo in between his butt cheeks, then eats it. So now this is Reacher garnering some low key, maybe some Oscar potential for his other film we talked about last week, where he goes through the snow to save his daughter.
Yeah, for what?
Did we not watch that trailer last week? Where the girl's dying, is on a transplant list and can't make it, and is not gonna make it because they've waited so long. Then they get a call in the middle of the worst blizzard historically, based on a true story. Thad's the dad, single dad, and can't remember her name. She was used to be.
I vaguely remember this. This is a trailer we watched in the past.
If it was, it was last week.
I didn't watch anything about this last week.
The actress who's in it. Is used to be in everything and was super, 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 super famous. What's her name? Hilary Swank.
Okay.
It's see if I can find the film.
Yes.
Anyway, keep talking about
I remember this trailer. It was it showed at Maiden Alley, or it showed before some movie that we went to see together.
Did it? It showed. I thought it showed before Wish.
Huh.
Angels. Ordinary Angels. Hilary Swank. Alan Rickson. Rickston. Whatever you say his name.
Okay. Well,
now you know.
Well, Reacher's great. Obviously, this is based off like books and everything, so it's kind of, you kind of go into something, just trusting the source material, and I mean the action's great. If you thought that Alan Rickman could not get any bigger, he's jacked.
He's
absolutely jacked. I don't understand it. It's like I don't understand how he moves.
No, I know. Dude's a beefcake.
So it's really good. And I like this season a little bit more than last season. Because you've got a little bit more of an ensemble. You got, you know, a bigger is this cast. A
dump all at once show too.
No, it's episodic as well. Which again, they do a really good job. It's like classic TV of just like giving you that hook to kind of bring you in for the next one.
Yeah.
So, Reacher, I'll be watching that. The first three episodes that just dropped. Something that's kind of unlike other TV shows that I feel like have been released recently. You've got Murder at the End of the World.
Did you ever come around on that? Because I remember last time we talked about it.
I'm waiting until the finale. I think I've got two episodes left, maybe. But I feel like I've kind of hit a penultimate episode. I can't remember which one. I think it's episode 7. So it might have been a penultimate. There might be only 8 episodes to this.
So it grew on you?
It's grown on me, but it's nothing groundbreaking. The OA girl, I forget her name. But she's the creator of this. It had its little twist that you normally would have in a show like that. But I don't know. I never fully bought into the characters of this one. Emma Corbin, I think is her name.
Yep.
Or their name. It is just it's a weird type of story to tell. This
everything I've seen about it, I'm just not.
Like, I don't think you would like it.
Yeah, everything I've seen of us think I'd be incredibly bored.
Yes.
Watching this.
This is also based off a book. I think this is the type of book that Caitlin would read. And she was like, oh, yeah, this is like 3 out of 4 stars or 3 out of 5 stars.
Also, she has seen it?
No, she hasn't seen it. I'm just saying, like, based off knowing that it's a book and the story of it, I think it's, I don't know, it's just one of those types of things. But freaking my last show that I've watched, this is probably, I wish you would watch this because I know you love Gary Oldman.
I do.
And we've got, and
Tanner's told me about Slow Horses too.
Tanner watches Slow Horses.
I want to say, I think it was him. Him or Dawson. One of them watched Slow Horses.
I love Slow Horses. This is probably my favorite TV show right now. Like, The Bear is one thing. I love The Bear. But
we never finished season 2.
It's,
I don't know.
So you never got to freaking fishes? You never got to fish?
No.
Or Forks?
No.
Bro.
We made it 2 or 3 episodes in.
Some of the best TV is in the back. Some of the best TV I've ever watched is the back end of Bears season 2. Like,
we need to finish it because I like it.
But Slow Horses, if you never watched it, just bite the bullet. It's the easiest television I've ever seen.
That's what I've heard. And every trailer I've ever seen for it makes me think, like, you know what? I think I'd like this show.
Yeah. It is every old beat up paperback that you would find at, you know, your grandparents or some gas station. Like, it's all that just wrapped up, personified. Like, it just I don't know. It's an itch that you never thought that you had being itched. So it's great.
You want to know what itch that I didn't need scratched?
What?
Merry Little Batman.
Oh, God.
I wanted to like this movie.
Yeah.
Did we watch a trailer for it?
No.
Okay. So this is a 2023 film. 87, 97 minutes long. Directed by Mike Roth. who has only ever directed one film, and it was Merry Little Batman. He's written for The Regular Show, Phineas and Ferb, Camp Lazlo, produced a bunch of weird animation films. I don't know, not like TV show kind of films. It's got a 3.3 on Letterboxd, and just a quick synopsis is this Christmas, Damian Wayne wants to be a superhero like his dad, the one and only Batman. When Damian is left home alone while Batman takes on Gotham's worst supervillains on Christmas Eve, he stumbles upon a villainous plot to steal Christmas and leaps at the chance to save the day. Guess who voices Batman?
Jake Johnson.
Worse.
I don't know who.
Luke Wilson.
I can't imagine it.
It didn't work for me at all.
Like, it's not low enough.
Yeah, and he doesn't try to, which is better. At least he didn't try to sound like Batman. He just sounded like Luke Wilson, which just never quite worked for me. Something about this animation style, I just don't like. Like, I don't know if you can tell from that.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't like that weird, kind of gross. Like, everybody's just a little gross.
The Regular Show?
No.
Oh, that's...
No.
That's disappointing.
I mean, I've seen it, and I can laugh at it. I can get some appreciation out of it, but I just don't love a movie in that kind of animation style the whole time. And, like, everybody's just a bit over the top and overdone. It just didn't work for me as a whole. The animation didn't. I can appreciate it, but it's also just not for me.
Okay.
I didn't like the voice acting very much of anybody. Mm-hmm. The plot was, you know, Gotham had been crime free for years and years and years and years and years because Batman realized he was having a kid. He wanted to be home and not have, you know, to be, because he lost his parents, you know, Tom and Martha. He wanted to be able to be there for Damian. So Damian grew up in a Gotham that was crime free until Christmas Eve night. They lure Batman away. Mr. Freeze does, and Joker's got this big plan. And Joker manipulates little Batman, Damian Wayne, to like steal and ruin Christmas for everybody.
Mm.
And then, you know, at the end of the day, they figure out what's going on. Batman gets back, father, son team up, beat Joker, and it's Joker, Riddler, or no, Joker, Penguin, Poison Ivy, Bane, and Mr. Freeze are your villains here. And they team together, take them down. Yay, good guys win.
Yeah.
Violet watched the last 30-40 minutes with me because she wouldn't take a nap Sunday.
Yeah.
She was into it, but she also thought she goes, this is weird, Daddy.
Yeah.
The animation style wasn't for her either.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get past it. It just was not for me, and everybody was just a little gross and not fun to look at. And the voice acting wasn't great. To me, I didn't enjoy it. And I also thought the plot was a little oversimple and predictable. I'm not sure who the target audience was. Is it for 7-year-olds? Is it for 30-year-olds? Like, I don't know.
Mm.
Can't tell. But as a whole, 3 stars, because I feel like it was just personal enjoyment, it's probably 2.5, but I think I can appreciate what they were trying to do, and that I'm just probably not the target audience for this, whether it be the animation or the humor or the plot. I just don't think it was for me. Another 3-star film that I get a lot of flack for is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Like, on the other hand, Tyler is over here with 5 stars, and I'm over here with 3 stars. It's, you know, not. Have you seen it?
Christmas Vacation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you in that camp?
I love that show, but it's main or movie, but it's mainly for nostalgic reasons. I don't critically acclaim that as.
Have you watched it this season yet?
No. I've watched it last year. I've watched it within a year.
Are you going to watch it?
Probably not, because again, I'm not a huge Christmas movie guy. Like, I've already way past my Christmas movie quota.
Did you happen to watch, we'll talk about it later, but did you happen to watch Family Man with Caitlin?
I didn't watch it with Caitlin.
Oh,
but
dang,
I wonder
what she thought about the Nicolas Cage thing. Yeah. Anyway, so Christmas Vacation. Every year I watch this movie, and I didn't grow up watching it, so that's part of it. I watched it I've seen it passively growing up, but it wasn't like a staple for my family because it's a little racy for when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It still kind of is, really.
I mean, it pretty famously has the
tire scene. Yeah. The what?
The swimming pool scene.
Oh, well, the swimming pool scene when he does he drops an F-bomb in there, too.
And yes. Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
It's holy shit, where's the Tylenol, that whole thing. Something about this movie just seems not good. I don't know. And lazy. And
it's Chevy.
Yeah, but I like some Chevy. Chevy, that's a Chevy. Some Chevy.
Yeah.
Some Chevy Chase.
It's if.
Yeah. Is it, yeah. I don't know, man. Like, the only thing that consistently works for me in this is the most annoying person. That's Cousin Eddie. I think Cousin Eddie, his comic relief, Randy Quaid, is good. His banter with Clark Chevy is good. There's a lot of editing issues in this film. Part of it's an older film. Christmas with the Cranks has some really bad style. Editing too.
I think I like about Christmas Vacation, and this is, you know, one of the things that this movie franchise tries to always kind of like the beat it tries to hit is the whole family aspect, and how Mark Griswold interacts with his family, like his relationship with his son. The daughter's always kind of forgotten about, but just that father son relationship is always pretty. It's not really highlighted in the movie, but you know it's there because of all these other films, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty famously, those kids are recasted. Feels like almost every other movie.
The wife is not in all the same. Yeah.
And but I mean, I don't know. It represents a time where, you know, there was really no idea of a real healthy family.
No.
But I think hindsight's 2020 whenever it comes to anything that Chevy Chase is in. It's hard to watch a lot of stuff now and not just know that he was really just a
total jerk.
Yeah.
Yep. All the time. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's overrated. I just can't put my finger on it. Like, it's 5-star film for Abby, 5-star film for Tyler. Like, I get it. A lot of people like the film. I just don't, I don't find the same enjoyment. It's not that I hate it. 3 stars, the serviceable. I'll watch it every Christmas. I'm not going to complain.
Yeah.
There's a couple of spots I chuckle at every single time. But as a whole, I just,
it
maybe because I didn't grow up on it. I just don't think it holds up that great. And I just don't love it.
Probably been a 4-star for me, but I mean, I think I've seen better Christmas movies now.
Yeah.
I think some of them we'll talk about in our next episode. But it's probably a 3.5 now.
Yeah, so. I was 3.5 until last year. Last year I dropped it to 3, and then this year I held the line at 3. But anyway, that's all I watched was just those two things. I didn't watch anything else crazy. So let's just jump into the news.
Yeah.
Archer, one of my favorite comedies of all time, has ended after 14 years.
I find it depressing, but I say that as someone that hasn't even watched this last season.
I haven't seen the last 2 seasons.
Yeah. Part of that, I think, is I don't do well with finishing things. And so part of it's like
you
it's
actively not, avoid something ending.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I'll probably rewatch a lot of it before That's I even get to do. The, yeah, I'll probably rewatch a lot of it before I even see the last season.
That's my plan is because when I know they're releasing this next year,
yeah,
I'm going to probably binge watch 13 seasons. And then because I think I've seen 10. So I may be 3 seasons behind.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm super sad because it's just it feels that I mean, when I say fills a South Park void, South Park's still there. But there's just something about Archer that crossed that line of actually being substance, like build upon yourself show, but also having that humor attached to it. So I'm going to miss Archer. Archer is one of the good ones. So RIP to my boy Sterling. The DCEU, which is the, you know, the DC Comics Extended Universe, ends this week with the release of Aquaman 2. We've done a lot of superhero stuff coming to an end.
Yeah,
this week.
I've lived through it.
We made it. We survived the DCEU. Jason Momoa did say he's done, that he expects, not because he wants to be, just expects to be done. That's like the fan reaction is so visceral. Are you glad the DCEU is ending, or do you wish that James Gunn had retconned some of it?
I honestly didn't have a lot to say whenever it was actually going on. So, you know.
Yeah, me either. I just don't care about the DCEU. I'm glad that James Gunn is involved. I trust his involvement. I bet DC gets on track sooner rather than later.
Probably
a good time to just cut ties and move on.
Yeah, agreed.
So, George Clooney says there is not, quote, not enough drugs in the world for him to return as Batman again.
This makes me ask one simple question. How much drug did it take for him to get in there to begin with?
And who's asking him to come back as Batman?
Ah, yeah.
And he just came back as Batman in The Flash. Well, Bruce Wayne.
Oh, yeah. Well, he came in the suit. A suit, not the suit.
Yeah, he was in a suit. Yeah. George Clooney's just in the pressers a lot right now, including talking about Calipari and Aaron Bradshaw the other day, which was awesome. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. But no one's asking George Clooney to come back.
And yeah.
We all know he's not coming back. So point is moot.
I think that's, it's pretty well warranted. But something that I do look forward to seeing George Clooney in is a movie with him, possibly in a movie with Adam Sandler.
We're going to that one.
I mean, it seemed appropriate.
Yeah, it is. He's also in a movie coming up with Brad Pitt, too, where they're both fixers going to fix the same job. The new John Watts movie. Adam Sandler and George Clooney will star in Noah Baumbach's next film for Netflix, described as emotional coming-of-age film about adults. Adam Sandler, George Clooney, and Noah Baumbach. What a trio.
Yeah.
An unorthodox but exciting trio.
It's a weird bingo card for sure to fill. I think maybe they'll play some bingo. Who knows? But Baumbach knows how to play with those emotional strings.
Yep.
In a way that it's almost like you're confronting something that you want to avoid. And I think you pull in two characters. I mean, obviously, you know, these are two different sides of a coin type of thing. Like, yeah. Adam Sandler's has that persona of like a grungy old dude, whereas George Clooney's clean and dapper. I'm really, really looking forward to this. And I think we can't wait to talk about it in the future.
That one would be all, because I mean, they're both just powerhouse actors. And I'm really excited to see where that one ends up going. Charlie Hunnam. So this is coming off that we didn't talk about last week either, but coming off the heels of him saying that he got offered the role of a live action Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Turned it down, which he would have been perfect.
He had no idea who Green Arrow was.
Yeah. Which, I mean, at least he's honest.
Yeah.
But he also got offered, or he almost was cast as Anakin Skywalker. Quote, I got to the point where I was meeting with George Lucas. What a crazy alternate reality that we live in, that Charlie Hunnam could have been Green Arrow and Anakin Skywalker. Now, I'm a Charlie Hunnam stan, whether it be from Green Street Hooligans or Sons of Anarchy. Like, I love Charlie Hunnam. However, and maybe it's just because he's mine, like nostalgia, but I cannot picture anybody but Hayden Christensen in the role as Anakin now.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard to separate it now, but at the time...
Yeah, at the time,
I don't know who casted Anakin could have saved that role.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Hunnam wouldn't even do anything crazy big back then.
So, do you think if Hunnam takes that role, what does it do for his career then? Because Christian,
Charlie Hunnam's arguably a pretty significantly better actor.
Yeah, I agree.
Hayden Christensen. However, I don't know if all of it was Hayden's fault now that you're seeing some of the other stuff he's doing. So I don't know if it would have mattered. Probably would have stunted his career, probably. Which Sons of Anarchy is still his biggest cash cow and good for him, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm kind of glad he wasn't in it. But he did at least get to his own little Star Wars spinoff in Rebel Moon. Unfortunately, it is getting absolutely torn to shreds. And apparently, the way Netflix handled this was, they were trying to recreate the Snyder Cut. And with that, they basically, I don't know if they forced Snyder or Snyder's choice, filmed a bunch of, like, apparently, like, a lot of people's complaints are there's just stuff obviously missing from these scenes. They're going to release the Snyder Cut of Rebel Moon eventually.
That's frustrating.
Oh, yeah. And that's what everybody's so mad about. Like, all the pundits are like, there's obviously stuff missing here. And Netflix is gunning for their Snyderverse.
Which is
Snyder Cut.
Really, because this movie is not being released at theaters, is it?
No, I don't think so. I'm just
it's really frustrating because I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't understand that call, but whatever. But I'll still watch it, and I will find some enjoyment because I'm a big sucker for like big scale, open combat, space, RPG kind of stuff. So I'll enjoy it.
But it doesn't even sound like it's really, really fulfilling in that department.
I know. But I'll still give it a go, but I'm bummed because right now it's mostly your critics that are watching it right now anyway, because it's not general public. So maybe this is one of those rare ones where the critics are all wrong and they're just harping really hard on Snyder and Netflix, and we'll see. It's good. I don't know. Our last news story is the most baffling one to me. Dwayne The Rock Johnson will star in his first A24 film directed by Benny Safdie. The film will be a drama that follows MMA fighter Mark Kerr during his peak era in the UFC as he struggles with addiction, winning, and love. Everything about that little sentence and a half is wild to me. Benny Safdie, The Rock, and MMA fighter movie.
I'm in the middle of watching a Benny Safdie show right now with him and Nathan Fielder, The Curse, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I've heard.
Obviously,
it got nominated for some stuff too.
Yeah, obviously, it's going to be a little bit different tonally. It sounds like, but that's a pairing: Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Benny Safdie.
And it's not because of The Rock. I just trust Benny.
Oh yeah.
So and A24, I just am having a hard time imagining The Rock in this kind of leading role.
I give him credit for going for it.
Same. I never thought he'd do anything remotely close to being not a mega blockbuster. So
yes, exactly. So I think that shows some eagerness to
branch out, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, he's gonna have to if he wants to do anything besides cash a check.
Yeah. You know who's not gonna be cashing checks?
Who?
Our boy Jonathan Majors. Well, he's not our boy anymore.
Which is a real bummer because you're probably never gonna get to see Magazine Dreams.
Yeah.
And hate, love him or hate him, kind of like you do with Kevin Spacey. When someone does a damn good performance, you got to give them their flowers. And whew, Majors is great.
Yeah.
But Majors has been found guilty of assault and harassment following a domestic dispute with his former girlfriend. We talked about this. We've been talking about Jonathan Majors stuff on and off for the last few months. And it finally happened that he was convicted. And now he is apparently getting dropped. He did get dropped by Disney.
Yeah.
May face up to 1 year in prison. Had a lot of fallout, including loss of his PR team, campaigns, and future MCU movies, to the point where Marvel has supposedly renamed Kang's Dynasty to just simply the Avengers 5. This is a bummer, man. Not because Disney did. I mean, Disney did the right thing. They should let him go.
Yes.
However, it's just a bummer because I really liked what he was going to. I liked what I'd seen from him. Kind of remind me of the early days of Marvel when he had like Robert Downey Jr. coming into the mix, Chris Hemsworth coming into the mix. Like he just felt like he belonged and he could add a lot of depth and substance to that character. If Kang and actually be a real, 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 real threat. So it's a bummer. But you know, obviously they have to do what they got to do. The question is now, who are they going to replace him with? Like,
I don't think they're going to replace it at all. I think they're done with Kang.
How are you going to retcon that?
I think you introduce the Fantastic Four and a new bad that comes with it. And I think that's it. Have you seen Loki season 2?
No.
Okay. Well, you should
watch it all.
You should watch Loki season 2.
Okay. I was going to say, no, it doesn't make sense. So I'll leave it. But I do want to watch Loki season 2 because it's all out now. It's done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give it a go because I'm trying to wait for Abby, but she's kind of done with Marvel at this point. So.
Yeah, that's understandable. The only thing I'll say about Jonathan Majors is I have enjoyed him in just about everything I've ever seen. But the thing that I recognize that has made him so magnetic on television or on my screen is probably the same thing that has landed him in this position. It's just like fire. I mean, it's like playing with fire, just like raw emotion and all this stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be probably a long time before we see him in anything, if anything.
I mean, yeah. And that's because he was actually found guilty. So that's going to really throw a kink into things. Bummer, man. For obviously the family, the girl, the woman, but also a real big bummer for selfishly for Jonathan Majors and me and like, really was about to take off in his career, I think, with Magazine Dreams, man. It was just fantastic. But anyway, now that's the end of our news stories. We've gone taking you through our trailer roundup, what we've been watching, and a brief segment of the news. So we'll be back next Thursday as we discuss a handful of films like The Santa Claus and Family Man, It's a Wonderful Life. There was a couple more, weren't there? Home Alone 2 and Krampus.
Yeah.
Yep. So we got quite a few films to bring to you next week. We'll do it, you know, a little shorter. We got Christmas around the corner. So if you like what you've been listening to, leave us 5 stars, leave it under our little podcast tree. We check it twice. We're gonna find out who's reviewing or should get lice. So
okay.
Anyway, so I hope you all have a merry couple days. We'll see you all on Thursday as we break down some of those Christmas films. Until then, I'm one of your hosts for Mostly Film, your one-stop chaotic shop for Jonathan, or for all things in the world of film. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Recorder, joined by my beautiful co-host, JP Payton.
See you guys.
See y'all Thursday.